Let's pray as we go to God's word. Father, would you give us your spirit now that we would be enlightened and strengthened by your word, that you would bring new life for us in the midst of everything that is going on. In Christ's name, amen. So as I was praying and preparing for this message this morning, I kept coming back to John 11 and the story of Lazarus, and I really believe that God has something in here for us as we move into continue in this season with the pandemic and everything that is going on. And in particular, just struck by, you know, the reality of how many people in this story, the disciples, Mary, Martha, all of them feel that Jesus is just too late, and that in the midst of Lazarus' illness and subsequent death, there is a real sense of urgency that Jesus doesn't seem to have that they do. And so when we get into the story, you know, Jesus says, arrives four days after Lazarus dies. And this is not a long trip. This was a day trip from where he was. And had someone pointed out to me recently that the you know, when the message went out, by the time the messengers reached Jesus, or at least shortly after, Lazarus had already died. So at this point, Jesus' decision to stay where he was wouldn't have made a difference for whether or not Lazarus was dead. And it's kind of an interesting point, just because we think, well, did Jesus just let that Lazarus die? Well, Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was dead already. And so you have kind of this, the way the situation is like, they're stuck. There was no avoiding this circumstance. And as the disciples go with Jesus, they find that there is a significant need in that community. And so when Jesus gets there, Martha says to him that, God, that I know, you know, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And in that moment, what you actually have is something of a first in the midst of John's gospel. Jesus has been shown to be Lord of a lot of things, and he's been doing incredible signs, but death is one thing that he's not been tangled with to this point. And Martha, I think, has something of a sense of Jesus' power, just the extent of Jesus' power. And to know that God would do whatever Jesus asks, even maybe, to deal with death. And that I think is important for us to keep in front of us in this season, because in the midst of everything that's going on, we have you know, horrendous statistics about what is going on with COVID-19 and the number of cases and hospitalizations and those who have died as a result. And even apart from that, you know, the reality is we've got flu, we've got famine and locusts in East Africa. We've got a horrendous disaster and need and death and at work in our world right now. And so Martha's faith, I think, is instructive for us that even in the moments and wondering, you know, Lord, if you'd shown up, if you had been in that place with me at that moment, you could have stopped this. But even to go further than that, to say, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And so in the midst of any wondering that we might have in terms of where's God been? Why is this happening? What did this really have to be this way? We can still also continue in the faith to be able to say that even now God hears the intercessions of Jesus. Even now God will act for the sake of his people. And Jesus answers Martha. He says, your brother will rise again. And she's like, oh, well, I know that. I know that in the resurrection, he will be raised to life. I know what I've heard from the scriptures. I know what I've been taught, that God's going to bring an end to death at some point. And That's the, you know, and that's great. That's what we all confess that. We confess that on a weekly basis, that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus says, or points her to the reality that he is the resurrection of the life, that the one who believes in him will live even if they die, and whoever lives by believing in him will never die. And so he's almost like, yeah, Martha, you're right, but I want you to see something more significant, more important, more central. In other words, I am the life. I am the resurrection. In a sense, it's like the death itself is actually not even the point, or our own physical life isn't even the point, but that knowing Jesus brings a different kind of life. That knowing Jesus is to know resurrection. Knowing Jesus is to know real life, and knowing Jesus is to defeat death. And in some ways that can seem sort of very abstract and theoretical, but I want to tell a story of a mentor of mine in seminary. She was a Martha Gilman was a priest in the diocese, and she taught pastoral theology at the seminary and was quite a character. And one shortly before the end of my graduation, she was diagnosed with cancer. And it was a horrendous battle with a very aggressive cancer. And the treatments were up and down, and the experience itself was just, it was a very long journey. But through it all, you know, her faith in, as she was walking through this, her faith was again and again to say that, you know, she knew her Redeemer, who her Redeemer was. She knew who her Savior was, and that death had no dominion over her. That was her constant refrain, that death has no dominion over me. And she understood that for us, being in Christ means that death has no dominion over us. And this gospel reading drives that home for us, that as we face severe sickness and illness and death around us, destruction around us, that we as followers of Jesus need to be faithful, need to be continuing in acknowledging that because we are in Christ, because of faith in Christ, we can say and we can assert, we can remind ourselves and we can tell others that death has no dominion over us. And that is critical for us, I think, especially as we consider how we bear witness to our friends and neighbors. And now Martha hears the challenge of Jesus, the invitation of Jesus, and she responds to that. And she says, you know, I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. She realizes that Jesus showing up means everything is changing. And she walks in that kind of faith. And I want to address this in particular because as we look at this season, I'm not going to get into everything that this gospel could say because we could be here for hours. But the reality is that what this gospel addresses isn't just the loss of human life, but of the loss of relationship, the loss of hopes, dreams, the loss of all kinds of things that are good and beautiful and life-giving. And in this season, I think we are all facing that to some extent or another, that there are dreams and hopes and expectations and plans that really seem to be good and buried right now. And we are wondering as we look at that, where's Jesus? And we could say, if you showed up, if you had been there, you could have stopped this from dying. You could have stopped my hopes from being dashed. You could have made sure that conversation never happened. You could have fill in the blank. There are any number of things that we have lost in our grieving in this season. And it's important to know that in our grief, Jesus is coming to us. And Jesus is calling us to recognize, you know, he's asking us, Do you believe that this thing, this can live? That this dream can live? That that hope can live? Do you believe that God's plan for you can live and continue? And we can say all day long, well, yeah, of course, I believe, you know, God's gonna have his way. God's gonna fulfill his plan. God's going to do something better than I can imagine. And we can say that. But Jesus is gonna challenge us. He's gonna call us further. No, I am the resurrection of the life. Will you look to me? Will you see me? Will you know me and trust me? Will you believe in me in this time? In this season. And you know, the question is, do we have the capacity to say, yeah, I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you're going to come into the world to make things new, to make things right, to bring resurrection in life. Do we have that capacity? Well, apart from God's own work, we really don't. But the reality is that, you know, I want us to consider those dreams and hopes and other things that we feel are buried right now. Maybe it's because of the pandemic. Maybe it's just the timing, bad timing. You know, everything came at once. But whatever those are, to acknowledge those, to acknowledge Jesus' presence with you now in grieving those. Because Jesus comes and he deals with the sisters in their belief, yes, but he grieves. He grieves. He weeps. And that is real. And what he does in that moment is he calls out to God. Calls out to God. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. Jesus models for us a confidence in the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, the presence of God, that in the face of death, when confronted with death, whether of a loved one or a dream or hope, whatever it may be, when confronted with death, Jesus intercedes. And he wants us to hear that he intercedes for us so that we can trust in his intercession. You see, the response to death and asking God for resurrection isn't for us to feel like, oh, I need to pray harder. I need to pray more. I need to do X, Y, and Z. But it's to look to Jesus because he is the one who's going to intercede for us with the Father. It's to look to Jesus and know his perfect prayer and advocacy for us is real and present and ongoing. And Jesus knows that he is heard by his Father. And he wants us to know that he is heard by his Father. And Jesus calls out Lazarus. He calls him out of the tomb. And he, Lazarus comes out and he's still got all the grave clothes on. Still wrapped in linen, still even his face is still covered. And Jesus has to tell them, what are you doing? Take off the grave clothes. Let him go. And what I believe God wants us to hear and what I believe God wants us to know in this season is the one, yes, he is with us in our grief. He is with us in our processing and trying to sort what's going on and how is God going to come through with his promises, whether the promises to you individually or to us as a parish? How is God going to do this? Where is he? To know that he's with us in that, to know that he grieves with us in the midst of the loss, but also to know his intercession is real. Jesus prays with us, prays for us, and God hears that intercession. God responds to that intercession. And I believe what God is saying to us as a church is that those hopes, those dreams, those plans, those promises, those lives are going to be raised, are going to live, are going to be drawn out of the tomb. And at first, it's not going to look like being fully alive. There are grave clothes to take off. There is some unbinding that will have to happen, but that God is going to bring that life, and all the evidences and stench of death is going to have to come off. And we will get hear God's word at that point. God is going to bring life, and God will give us the instruction for what it takes to strip that off. In this season, we're worshiping differently. We're gathering online. We're missing that person-to-person fellowship. And it's a lot. It's a lot. But in the midst of this, God meets with us every week still. God meets with us. His Spirit is present with us now, still speaking through us, still speaking to us. And in the midst of that, God is not done with you or me or Church of the Savior. And his promises to bring a harvest are still real. That who knows how God will use this moment of weakness for us. Because it's, you know, I don't know about you, but it always seems like we're really strong when we're all together. And that's the one thing we really can't do right now. But in the midst of our weakness, that was the prophetic word we heard, right? God says, hey, I made you weak so that I can show my strength. Friends, I don't know that we can get any weaker than we are right now. I don't know that God's promises can seem any more unlikely than they do right now. But what I do know is that he is with us, that he's present with us. And in speaking that, in speaking his intercession, his prayer for us, and God is also calling forth the dead things, the things we buried, into new life. And it's going to be a process. It's going to be slow. And it's going to seem like he's a little too late. But let's hold on. Let's hold on in faith. Let's hold on in the confidence that he is the one who will bring the life. So just invite you right now, wherever you're at, to take a moment in silence. I want you to acknowledge the promises that you're struggling with, the things and the hopes that were dashed, the things that you are anxious about and just not sure how God's going to come through. And I want you to see Jesus beside you, present with you, grieving with you. I want you to know that he asks you now, do you believe this? Do you believe that this will live? Do you believe that my promise will be true? Do you believe that your hopes will be raised? Do you trust that I am the resurrection and the life, and that death has no dominion over you? And our yes there may be very faltering. It might be a faint yes. It might be a split second, like, I can trust this for a moment now. Yes. But that's what God will use. That is what God will use to bring new life. And so as we wait for him, let's trust in his presence and his comfort and his promise. And above all, let's look to him. Let's look to Jesus. It's all fine and good to know what's going on in the world and to see and to acknowledge the wreckage of it. But at the end of the day, let's look to Jesus. and continue in trusting in him and his presence with us and in his intercession for us. So, Father, we thank you that you hear Jesus and that you hear us as your children. Lord, be present with us. Would you restore our faith, restore our trust in you, restore our hopes, Lord. Bring resurrection and life into those places that we have buried, that we want to know you to be the life and the resurrection. Lord, would you bring an end to all of the chaos that is going around? Even now, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, and make all things new. But give us faith and endurance until that day. In Christ's name, amen.